Yeah, so if you look at the sheets that I sent out, you'll to explain that. The piece of Gemara that we're going to see today is the last in the discussion of the famous eggs. Once you conclude that, they then move on to the rest of our Mishnah, which had to do with yeast and sourdough and Pesach and Kisui Adam. So what I did was, just pulling from my own notes, I just did a quick summary. I mean, it's 3 pages, but it's 7 pages of Gemara. So it's just, it doesn't cover all of the ins and outs that we added. It's just the question and answer flow of the Gemara itself. To hopefully help with review, because for me, one of the challenges of doing a weekly Gemara shiur is trying to remember. So where have we been? I feel good if I can remember what we did last week. So this is an attempt, hopefully, to give you things that will be, somewhat of a reminder of what we've seen. And then next time you decide to go through the Masechta, you'll actually have a structure to work with. Maybe. Maybe. Okay. If not, I apologize to the trees. So, we are on Zayin Amud Aleph. We had been discussing this case of, or not the case of, but Rav Huna's statement, right? Rav Huna had said that when the egg emerges, it is complete, and we gave different explanations of what that meant. We talked about whether it was in terms of the laws of Yom Tov, or was it in terms of the laws of commerce, or was it in terms of the laws of meat and dairy, and its status as being fleshic. So we went through all of that, took care of all of that. We had a nice discussion last week about the oviduct in the chicken, and the point at which the egg is considered to be part of the mother, and when it's no longer considered to be part of the mother, we discussed the eggs that are attached to the ovary, and so on. And now, the Gemara is going to present us a tangent from that point. It is about two-thirds of the way down, maybe three-quarters of the way down, Tana Rabbanan, to Brisa. It is a tangent from the discussion about an egg that emerged and then re-entered the chicken. Right, because remember that we briefly mentioned that possibility that an egg could emerge and then go back in. We're going to discuss that more as we go forward here. But it had briefly been mentioned, and that's what this is an offshoot of. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says it is about 13-14 lines up from the bottom. Kol shetashmisho bayom, nolad or yolade, really, it should be, bayom. Anything, any creature that mates during the day will produce young during the day. Its young will be born during the day, or the egg will be laid during the day. Kol shetashmisho balayla, nolad balayla. If this creature normally mates at night, then its young will be born at night. Kol shetashmisho bein bayom, bein balayla, if it mates indiscriminately, daytime, nighttime, doesn't matter, then nolad bein bayom uvein balayla, then its young will be born at either of those. And now they give you examples. Kol shetashmisho bayom, nolad bayom. If it mates during the day, so then it will produce its young by day, zutar negolas. That refers to chickens. Chickens mate during the day, therefore they produce their young during the day. Kol shetashmisho balayla, nolad balayla. If this species mates during the night, then its young are born at night, zuat halev. That's a bat. And kol shetashmisho bein bayom uvein balayla, adam b'chod adam ilay. And creatures that mate by day or night, that's people and anything like people. End of Brisa. That's a fascinating idea. It doesn't mean the individual creature. It's talking about the species.
I was not talking about Jews.
Because Jews are supposed to mate only at night.
No, it's a completely dark room.
Even so, it's not considered lachatchila. Lachatchila is supposed to be by night. The Gemara and Megillah makes fun of those who are not like Achashverosh. There's a whole discussion over there. But the application here, without going into why this should be true scientifically, because I don't think you'll come up with why it should be true scientifically.
Right. Could be the nature of a bat to that.
Well, I'm sure bats mate at night because bats are nocturnal.
Yeah, they're not up.
And chickens...
Aren't they sleeping during the day generally?
Yes, exactly. No, bats are nocturnal. And chickens sleep at night. They're going to mate during the day. That's true. And it's true that human beings, as a species, will mate by day or by night, either way. That part of it is 100% true. The connection between the two is odd, unless you were to say, well, logically, if bats are only around and functioning during the day, then they're going to give birth to their young during the day.
Yeah.
And if chickens are only awake, I'm sorry, bats are
at night.
It'll be when it's dark out.
Right.
And chickens, if they're only functioning during the day, so that's when they're going to produce their eggs. I actually saw, this was terrible, when I was doing research on chicken biology for some of these year. So I came across a site that had a terrible joke. It said, why do chickens only lay eggs during the day?
They walk across the road?
Because at night they're roosters. Think about it, you'll get it. Okay, move on. The truth is, the observation regarding chickens is true. That chickens will lay their eggs during the day for a completely different reason. If you take a look at the sheep, I brought you a source from Scientific American. Ovulation takes place within 6 or 8 hours after the release of a high level of a hormone produced by the pituitary gland. Okay, this is all within chickens. Remember that we saw the picture last week about the eggs attached to the ovary? So the, exactly. Everyone wants to see the picture? So the ovulation is going to happen 6 to 8 hours after a certain hormone is released. The release of the hormone is related to the time of onset of darkness. And it normally occurs between midnight and about 8 a.m. So since the hormone is being released between midnight and 8 a.m., therefore ovulation is going to take place between 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. Somewhere in there is when ovulation will happen. It follows that the hen always ovulates in daylight. Moreover, since it takes about 24 hours, I've seen estimates as high as 24 to 26 hours after ovulation to complete the formation of the egg is also laid during daylight hours.
It's so quick. That's
but that wouldn't work in the in the upper reaches of Scotland. It would mean when there's normally, it wouldn't mean technically daylight.
But no, because it's pinned to the chicken sleep cycle, which is pinned to daylight.
But what happens if the chicken, there's only a couple of hours
so
of
so if you artificially night, throw off a chicken.
If you put him in an environment,
you create all sorts of problems within the chicken system. Yes. It is done, as Charlie points out, commercially it's done. But one of the websites, the website I gave you last week where we talked about the egg attached to the ovary, and I gave you a little digest explanation of the cycle of producing the egg. So the site that came from had a whole bunch of explanations of abnormal eggs. Why you'll sometimes see an egg with a very rough shell, or sometimes with a discoloration, or it's too large, or whatever it is. And all these explanations for various types of eggs that you'll see, and some of them are tied to extreme heat. Some of them are tied to changes in terms of the hours and the clock. Like, there are all sorts of different things that will, in fact, impact on this. But it's really pinned to the daylight hours. And so, therefore, what they are observing, and the Gemara is going to be very strict about it, we'll see, is that, indeed, chickens lay eggs during the day. Whether it's because that's when they're functional and when they mate, or whether it's because of the ovulation cycle based on the pituitary hormone, chickens are going to lay their eggs by day.
But the Gemara doesn't say because it's the others, one is the other.
This is an observation.
It identifies.
Correct. It didn't actually say causation.
Right. Because you're saying because the ovulation right, determines.
However, the Gemara believes it is causation. You'll see it as the Gemara goes forward. Because they're going to distinguish between an egg that was fertilized and an egg that was not fertilized.
I'd just like to understand what the domilei means.
But the domilei, any other creature that's like the human being and that it mates at any time. Whatever mates by day or by night.
That's what it means. Not like they're similar to that, two legs, but similar.
Correct. So Omar Mar, the Gemara quotes the Brisa now, a piece from the Brisa, it says, Kol shetashmishu bayom, nolad bayom, zutar negolas, right, the line regarding the chickens. So he says, Lamay nafgamino, who cares? What's the difference? Why does this matter? And the answer is, it matters a great deal. Lichad the Rav Mari braid Rav Kahana, for the statement of Rav Mari, son of Rav Kahana, the Amar Rav Mari braid Rav Kahana, the following case. Vadak bekino shel tarnagolin may erev yom tov velo masa babesa. Let's say it is the afternoon before yom tov. Okay, let's pretend yom tov is going to start at 8 o'clock. 6 o'clock or so, I go around the nest and I see no eggs. There are no eggs here. Ulamachar, and then the next morning, yom tov morning, hishkim. I got up really early. When we say early here, we mean it must be like night. So there hasn't been any daylight. I get up at the break of day, umatzav abeitza, and I find an egg there. So the question is, do I have to worry that maybe it was born after Yom Tov started? In which case, all the laws that we've seen about beitza shenolda b'Yom Tov will kick in. Or can I say, no, it probably happened right before Yom Tov. So he says, mutaris, it's going to be mutar. V'halo badak. But wait a minute, he looked. How can you tell me that you can assume that it was from before Yom Tov? Emer lo badak yafa yafa. So the answer is, he must not have checked well.
Isn't it safek rabbanan?
But the question is, can you have a suffix? You check.
Yeah. Right.
So the answer is, you must not have checked very well. Vafilu badak yafe, and even if you'll tell me he did check well, emer yatsiso ruba b'chazra havoi. Maybe it's a case, like what we mentioned earlier, of the egg that emerged partially and then went back inside the chicken. Uchad Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yochanan said, that in the event that the chicken produces the egg and then it goes back inside, then it's considered to have been laid before Yom Tov. So that's the idea. So we are assuming, and that's the underpinning of Rav Murray's statement, we are assuming that the likelihood is, the great likelihood is, that this was laid before Yom Tov. Even though I looked, doesn't matter, it must have been laid before Yom Tov. And the truth is, the way they're putting it here is not the way I gave it, that you checked at 6 and Yom Tov started at 8. They're saying even if you checked at 8, doesn't matter. You didn't look well, there was an egg there, you just didn't notice it, or it had emerged a little bit beforehand, because there's no way that this chicken is laying its egg at night. Because we know chickens lay their eggs by day. That's the Gemara's statement.
It just doesn't fit with the scientific source we cited.
That what?
Because this is closer to the morning that the egg is laid.
It can actually be into the afternoon, though. It can be, the hours still work. We said here, if you look at the way they put it, within 6 or 8 hours after the release of the hormone is between midnight and about 8 a.m. So let's take the end time. 8 a.m. plus 8 hours is 4 in the afternoon. And remember that they said 24 hours here, but I've seen estimates of up to 26 hours for the egg to emerge. So if you do that, you're now at 6 p.m. And also, when I looked into this question of when they give birth, because I did, you know, look around, not give birth, lay eggs. So so I did find farmers who say that their chickens will be in the afternoon.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and other ones who say no, it can't be. There was someone who was writing that they complained they were criticized by another farmer. They get up late. They should be getting up early to get. Yes, he said, my chickens don't lay eggs
in the middle of the day. When I hear from people saying it's always clubbed like in the morning, early morning.
Yeah, but you have Israeli chickens. Yes.
But the second terrorist gets rid of your problem. Could have been early in the morning, Yotz and Rubo, and then went back in.
Also true.
It's not a serious thing, Mark. You use the second terrorist.
Well,
either terrorist will answer it. The other answer is, it was there from before, you didn't notice it.
Yeah. Yeah, but
either one will work.
Yeah, you didn't check it the whole day. You didn't look the whole day. I mean,
I mean, both sorts of them are like, you know, a little bit weak. One is
even if it's a mute that happens, the other is considered by the Gemara as an impossibility.
The point isn't that. The point is that the Gemara is saying adamantly, and we're going to see more about this soon. But the Gemara is saying adamantly, there is no way that this happened. There's no way this chicken was laying an egg at night. Can't be. I'll accept any other explanation in order that we not say that. That's the statement. It's not so much that we care about eating the egg, it's that we care about this statement being accurate. And we'll see. I'm going to show you another source on that. God willing, we'll get there. So that's the statement. I want to come back to this, but first let's walk through the rest of the Gemara here. So, Ini, 5 lines up from the bottom. The Gemara says, is that really true? That we rely on that, and you know that it was for sure by day, and so on. V'ha'amar Rabbi Yosi ben Shol Amar Rav, Badak bekina shel tarnagolas me'erev yom tov, v'lo matzav abeitza, ulmachar hishkimu matzav abeitza. If you checked, same case, right? You checked close to yom tov, nothing there. The next morning you found asura. He says asur. So now what do you do? So the Gemara gives me an answer. Hasam b'desafna me'ara. That's talking about an unfertilized egg. And that's why I say that the Gemara here seems to in fact believe that it is connected to when they mate. So the Gemara says, Ihachi derav mari nami ema me'ara safna. So the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. If Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, quoting Rav, says that it's possible for an egg to emerge at night, if it's unfertilized, then why wasn't Rav Mari worried about that? Why did he say mutaras? So the answer is, b'di'ika zachar b'hadah, because he was talking about where there's a rooster around. If there's a rooster around, the chicken is not laying unfertilized eggs. The rooster makes sure of that. That's his statement, to which the Gemara says, really? B'di'ika zachar nami imamayara safna. Even if there is a rooster around, still it's possible that it lays an unfertilized egg. So Alma Ravina says, no, Gemiri, this is our tradition. Gemiri is a term we usually use in the Gemara for halacha l'moshe misinai. So he's very serious. This is a tradition, kol hecha de'ika zachar lo safna me'ara. If there is a rooster around, it will not produce an unfertilized egg. It's simply not going to happen. Literally, the phrase safna me'ara means fertilized by the ground. That's literally the meaning of the phrase. So the Gemara says, ve'ad kama. So here's a question, there's a little bit of curiosity here. How far away can this rooster be without you worrying that maybe it'll produce an unfertilized egg?
Because we are how many chickens? You know, the rooster, in theory, has a maximum.
Right, I think the maximum is 15 chickens. The rooster will be able to fertilize. But it won't matter because each one thinks
per
it's
hour? Typical per day? Okay,
not no, in general, the rooster is able, if you have the ratio, the maximum ratio you can do. A Rhode Island Red, believe it or not, is like 6 to 8 chickens. I don't know if you looked into this. But others can be up to 15. But they're talking about ratios of what you keep in your coop normally.
But French chicken, can we get biology credits for this?
Yeah. vet credits, yes. That's the next week, vet credits. So the question that we're asking fundamentally is, you're telling me if there's a rooster around, it's not going to lay an unfertilized egg. What if the rooster's next door? What if the rooster is down the block? Like, where's your boundary when you say if there's a rooster around? The ad kam. So Amar Rav Gamda Mishmei Dirav or Dirava. Rav Gamda says, quoting, it should be Rava. Kol hecha deshama kale bimama. As long as it can hear the rooster crowing during the day, as long as the chicken hears it, that's good enough. Why do we mention by day specifically? So Rashi says, because there's a difference between the way sound travels by day and by night. Rashi, at the top of the page, Zayin Amud Beis, says, Shakol eno nishma bayom kevalayla. You don't hear during the day like at night, which you're familiar with from the Gemara and Brachas also, where they talk about the almana crying in the neighborhood of, I think it's Rabbi Yishmael, at night, Rabbi Gamliel at night. They also have that on the line in Echa, Kumi Roni Balayla, night sound travels better. That's what Rashi says, but Tosva says something that I think is more on point here. Tosva says, Deshama Kali Viamama, that's not what he says, Balayla, Mashmi and Kolom Merachok, Yoser Mi Bayom, it's true that it's heard more at night. Velonakat Balayla, Mishu Detashmisho Bayom, night is irrelevant. The point is by day, because that's when it mates. So if it hears a rooster, they're both sleeping at night. Although I have to say that I've heard chickens crow at night, roosters crow at night.
Yeah, so
you know, in Israel, they,
for sure.
You hear that. For all the Nosan Lasat Levina, you know, Nosan Lasat Levina isn't about roosters, you know that. We connect it to roosters, but Sahli there is the mind, it's not the rooster.
They're all
awake. The there on the bus.
They all are awake when they come for Kapar Shlugging. Yeah. In the morning.
Well, you don't watch, they know what's happening. But the point is, he says that the chicken has to be able to hear the rooster during the day, which is during mating time. If it can't hear the rooster, it doesn't know there's a rooster around. If it hears the rooster, then it's going to wait for the rooster. That's the presumption here. And the Gemara says, Avad Rav Mari Uvda Ad Shisin Abadi. Rav Mari did this, meaning he was willing to rely on this and say that if you checked and didn't see an egg before Yom Tov, nonetheless, you could assume there had been an egg there if you found it first thing in the morning. So he was willing to do that when the rooster was as many as 60 houses away. That's nothing. Wait till what's coming next. The Iganara Lo Avra. If there's a river in between where the rooster is and where the chicken is, chicken romance stories, if there's a river in between, the rooster's not crossing the river. The Iigamavra Avra. But if there's a bridge, it will. It will go across. The Iigamitzra Lo Avra. If there's a rope bridge, yeah, the rooster's not going to be so quick to cross the roast bridge, the rope bridge, Indiana chicken. Havaugda, what's happened? The Avra Mitzra, they saw a rooster cross the bridge. Why did the rooster cross the bridge?
Well, he didn't have hands on the other side. If he would have hands on the other side, he would not come. He pants underneath.
Right, and maybe. Maybe. I mean, Rashi gives you this whole explanation about this rope bridge. You see Rashi Mitzra? Rashi's the fourth line on top. Chevel kashur b'rashe shtei yisedos. There's a rope tied to the tops of two pegs. Achas tekua b'spas hanar mizeh. V'achas tekua b'spas hanar mizeh. One is tied to a peg on this side of the river. One is tied to a peg on the other side of the river. V'eitz katzar muto l'rochav hanar. And there's also a thin piece of wood across the width of the river. V'ovrin bo b'dochak ha'idei sha'ozin b'chevel v'ovrin. And the way it works is you hold the rope and walk across this narrow beam. So the rooster obviously isn't holding on to the rope, it's just walking across the narrow beam, singing Kol Ha'olam Kulo, no doubt, as it crosses. That's to wrestle for a rooster, I don't know. But that's the idea. The point isn't that. The point is to say that fundamentally, if the chicken is aware there's a rooster around, then the chicken is not going to produce an unfertilized egg, and therefore I can assume that whatever egg it does produce, is a daytime egg.
Okay, is it saying that a chicken will not produce eggs, period, if there's a rooster around, unless the rooster comes and fertilizes it? Like,
that's a really interesting question. That's a really interesting question. That's what it sounds like.
Stop from Ira if there's a rooster around.
He said explicitly not. As long as this... I agree.
Because the rooster pays a visit, or because biologically the hen
is
will not be able to have...
The problem is...
It needs to get turned on, basically, which requires a rooster to be
sort of like that, yes.
The thing is,
what they're assuming here is that there's no such thing as an endocrine system. That's the assumption. In other words, the only way that this bird is producing an egg is via activation, so to speak, either by a rooster or from the ground, south Nameara. One out of the two ways is the way that this thing is producing an egg, and there's nothing natural that's automatic within the system, like what we're talking about with this pituitary hormone that's going to trigger ovulation. So therefore, yes, according to them, if a chicken produces an egg and it was able to hear a rooster, that means there was a rooster that somehow got to that chicken.
Okay.
That's what it suggests.
And conversely, does it mean, because I think what the question is it conversely, if we know there's a chicken in the same place, is it an impossibility to have, does the Gemara say it's an impossibility to have a Safra Ma'ara because the chicken is going to get visited by the hen?
By the rooster?
Or is there a biological reason when it knows there's a rooster around that it's impossible to have a Safra Ma'ara? There's something innate in the
Gemara seems to think it's psychological by the fact that they're talking about it hearing the rooster. Sounds like this is a thought process on the part of the chicken.
Right.
It's a chemical reaction.
I mean, the whole thing is very difficult, and I'm not so uncomfortable with the idea of simply saying they're working with what they observed. And what they observed fit their data sufficient that they used it, but then nowadays, with what we know about the way our chickens work, we would not be able to rely on this. We would have to work with our own system. In other words, it's not a concern because we don't have a distinction between fertilized and unfertilized eggs. In other words, both of them are subject to the same system within the bird. The way that an egg is fertilized is that the seed from the rooster is entering the oviduct and sitting in a particular spot, but the egg is released on the pituitary cycle. Whether or not there's anything there to fertilize the egg is going down the oviduct. It hits the spot where the seed is supposed to be sitting. If there's seed there, it'll be fertilized. If there's no seed there, it won't be fertilized. It's as simple as that.
No,
Nothing about the rooster is triggering anything.
Right.
Maybe the pituitary gland doesn't cause the ovulation. if the chicken is aware of a rooster in the vicinity, it waits or something.
Maybe. I haven't seen any evidence of this.
I think it's saying that it gets released by a chemical reaction caused by, you know, the getting excited. I guess the
I hunted for evidence of anything like this and couldn't find the thing. That doesn't mean it's not there. But no one's writing about it. No one is suggesting any difference whatsoever in terms of the time of day when fertilized and unfertilized eggs are released. No one is suggesting that chickens engage in any sort of different egg-laying behavior with roosters around, without roosters around. Yeah, you can do an experiment. Yeah, have fun. Although it's against some Vaughan bylaw, probably. But you can try.
I'll quote on chickens in Ontario. That's why we have Marvel.
Another problem.
But other than beta chanel to be onto, where it may not make a difference, there is, well, it does make a difference. But nowadays, we do rely on certain things, right? Because we say most eggs are Saffron-Ara, for example. So
That's a separate issue. Don't go there, because there's a whole other problem with blood spots. Because blood spots don't mean that they're fertilized.
Right.
That's a whole other problem.
Right.
Blood spot does not mean that an egg was fertilized. We still don't eat them. But a blood spot doesn't mean that. It means that there was a broken blood vessel somewhere along the way in the oviduct, and you didn't pick that up. Yeah, that's what it means. But that's a whole other discussion. There's more to see here.
Yeah,
okay. So the Gemara has said that Rav Mari wasn't worried about the possibility of a Safna Me'ara, of an unfertilized egg, because he was talking about where there's a rooster around. So the Gemara says, well, hang in there. If it's an unfertilized egg, then Ma'ir Yavadak, Kilo Vadak Nami. Why did you mention specifically that it's where you checked before Yom Tov? Right? Even if I didn't check before Yom Tov, I should have to worry. In other words, you told me that it's because I checked when Yom Tov was starting and I didn't see an egg, that's why I have to be scared that the egg could have been late at night. But if you're talking about an unfertilized egg, then I should worry anyway that it might have been late at night, because it's late at all. It could be late at any time at all. You follow? Wait, are you with me?
Sort of.
You told me that the reason why he's concerned, the second approach, Rabbi Yossi, right, with Rob, the reason why he's concerned the egg may have been late at night is because, number one, he checked before Yom Tov and there was no egg there, and number two, it's an unfertilized egg that we're talking about.
Okay.
But if it's an unfertilized egg, then you should worry that it was late at night, even if you didn't check right before Yom Tov. Because who cares about it? The point of checking before Yom Tov is to establish that when Yom Tov started, there were no visible eggs in the coop.
Right.
But who cares? When I walk in on Yom Tov morning and I find an unfertilized egg, I should worry that it was late at night, whether I checked before Yom Tov or not.
Most eggs are late during the day.
But you're ahead of me.
Oh, sorry.
We didn't say that.
Okay.
So that's the Gemara's question. Why is it that you're willing to assume that if you didn't check before Yom Tov, then it's fine? The Kilo Badak, Ema So the Gemara's answer is, Kilo Badak, if you didn't check, Ema Me'es Mol Havoy, you can say that it was from yesterday. That's the answer. Is, in fact, if I didn't check when Yom Tov started, even though it was an unfertilized egg, I'm entitled to assume it was done by day. Because of the suffix, and also because we're about to say it's still unusual to have them at night, even if it's unfertilized. The Gemara is going to say right now. If so, kibadak nami ima yasaruba v'chazra hi uchad Rabbi Yochanan. Well, wait a minute, he says. I have another point here. Even if he did check before Yom Tov, why don't I say, maybe you brought in Rabbi Yochanan, right? Maybe it emerged from the chicken partially before, and then it went back in. Why can't I just assume that? Even if you did check. Right. Well, Rubo, in order to satisfy being considered late before Yom Tov. So why don't I say that? So the Gemara says to Rabbi Yochanan lo shchiach, because what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, this idea of an egg emerging and then going back in, that's not normal. That doesn't usually happen. So therefore, no. And I looked into that, and in terms of the site that had the egg, strange things that happen with eggs. So they did mention a phenomenon called an egg within an egg, in which you will actually crack the outer shell, and inside you will find an egg in a shell. And they said the reason it happens is if you remember the way the oviduct looked, and you have the picture still, so when it gets to the end, to the vent, where it's supposed to come out, it can reverse its way going back up and return to the spot where the shell forms. And then an additional shell will be formed around it. It can actually reverse its way up.
Okay.
And they said, the person on the site said, they say that this is very rare, but I've actually seen this quite a bit.
But it still hasn't gone out.
It has not. Well, I don't know what emerged means.
Right.
I don't know what she meant when she said on the site that it has, you know, gone to the vent and then come back up. I don't know. Nor do I know what the Gemara says. Most of it emerged. What does that actually mean? Like, if you look at the chicken, you're going to see the egg. I don't know what that means. But the point is that some degree of reversal is possible within this flow, and actually does happen. Okay, so that's our Gemara. We have two more lines that have nothing to do with eggs. So before we get to those two lines that have nothing to do with eggs, take a look at your sheet, please, and look at this Ritva. The Ritva writes, and you see this also in the Rashba, the Ram, the Mordechai, the Meiri, I just brought you the Ritva as one example of it. Because of HaRitvazal B'Shem Rabozal, Dekevan De'ilu Lo Badak, I added the word Esmol. Kevan Shehishkim, Lo Talinan Baledas Laila De'lo Shchicha. He says, since if you didn't check in the evening before Yom Tov, when you get up in the morning and you find it, we don't assume that the egg was laid at night, because it's not common for that to happen. Shaminon, so therefore, he says, based on that, we see from there, if a non-Jew sends fresh eggs to a Jew on Yom Tov, and you can't tell whether they're today's eggs or yesterday's eggs, I don't know how you could tell, but he says, you can't tell. Shehem gutarin, he says, they're mutter. You can assume they're from yesterday. Because we work with that which is more common. That's what we assume happened. He says most eggs came from previous days. Behold, a parish, meruba parish. And if it left the mixture, so to speak, because he brought it to you, it's assumed to be from the majority.
What if he brings it to you in the late afternoon?
Shouldn't matter, because there's 4 or 5 days that stay fresh for a while, the 4 or 5 prior days.
Correct. You can assume it was from previous days. You don't have to worry about it being a Beis HaShanol to be Yom Tov.
Honestly, if it's a Suffolk, it should always be a Sarabon.
Yeah, who says Sarabon? Go back to Rabba, right? Hachana de Rabba. He says it's a Deoraisa.
Right.
Velood, he says, not only that, I had that in the summary, otherwise I wouldn't remember it either. Velood, not only that, if the Jew goes to the non-Jew's house and gets the eggs, so that I would say it's no longer called a parish. It didn't leave the mixture, so to speak. The The Gemara there is talking about a completely different case, and there it says that if somebody goes to the mixture, then we assume 50-50 for reasons that are beyond the scope of what we're doing right now. He says this is not like that. Why? He says there, in the case there, they're dealing with a woman who is involved extramaritally with somebody inappropriately. And in that group of men of whom she was with somebody, we have a chazaka that there's at least one person who was disqualified. Disqualified meaning that he's going to create a problem of mamzerus or his nus within the relationship. That's true over there. But here in our Gemara, we don't know that there is an egg laid on Yom Tov in the non-Jew's house. There's no such chazaka. Kishama lo nolda sham. Maybe there was no egg laid there today. Vim nolda sham achla kodem lachen. And even if there was, maybe he ate it already. V'chein ayah harazal mora halacha l'maisa. And so the Ritva paskin that way, that you could have an egg from the non-Jew on Yom Tov and not be concerned.
What does he mean by harav? Is it Rambam?
No, he means the Ritva. See, this is all about the Ritva.
Okay. What about if it's an Amoric that brings you an egg in your chaver? Can you allow it to, again, use the same...
Why not? Yeah, I would think so. So there are two other things, though, to understand here. Two important points to understand. Number one, on Zayin Amud Aleph, we, in that discussion, mentioned the possibility to solve a problem. We said that the egg went back inside, right? We said in the beginning of tonight's shiur.
Right.
We said that if you checked right before Yom Tov and there was no egg there, and then you found one in the morning, you can assume either there was one there and you just missed it, Or it had emerged and then went back in. But now you're telling me it's lo shchicha. You're telling me that it's unusual. Would you make up your mind? Which is it?
Unusual to go back in.
Unusual to go back in, yeah. So take a look at source number two, please. This is the Ran. The Ran says, Emor yatsa ruba b'chazra havo yuchad Rabbi Yochanan. That was the answer that we had given. The Av Agav, the Milsa de lo shchicha, he granted that it is unusual. Kevin de pshita lan de'ena yoledes b'alayla talinam ba. He said, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we believe that it doesn't lay eggs at night. So this is our only choice, and that's what we assume. But a much stronger formulation is expressed here in number three, and I hinted at this before. So now we're going to see this. This is a tshuva by Rabbi Meir Eisenstadt, the Rav in the 17th century. And his tshuva is Panim Iros. He's dealing with a different case. He's dealing with a case in which they shecht a chicken, and they're looking inside to make sure it's not a trefa. They want to investigate the internal organs. And lo and behold, there's no heart. Which you would think makes it a trefa. But his argument is that it can't be there's no heart. We believe that animals can't live without hearts. So it must be there was a heart. And when you were looking the other way, the cat came in and grabbed it and ran away with it. So take a look. Source number three. Bisifri, he's quoting his own tshuva from an earlier volume. Bisifri panim iros chelak rishon shelachav gimel. B'tarnagola shalomitza uhula leif. Regarding a chicken where they didn't find the heart. V'kasavdi b'maftechos sheshmitu hamad pisim. He says, I wrote in the notes on that volume, which the publishers missed when they were supposed to publish the Sefer, and so I'm annoyed, and so I'm going to stick it into this tshuva instead. Daha, and here's the quote, Daha afilu v'davar she'eno matsui v'lo shchiach, even if you're talking about a circumstance which is not common, really not something that ever happens, anu tolim, we will say, well, that must be what happened, kedei l'ha'amid kabbalasenu u'bedikasenu, in order to support the tradition that we have, and that we have examined and found to be so. Damridim Parakama debates, he says, I'll prove it to you from our Gemara. Badar Bekina Shaltarnagolas Me'er Vyomtov, Lo Matzah Babetza, you checked on Erev Yomtov, you didn't see an egg. Ulmachar Hishkimu Matzah Babetza, and the next morning you woke up and you found an egg. Muteras. The Avagav, the Badak Yafa Yafa, even though you checked well, the Emer Yatza Ruba Vachazra. We'll say it must have emerged a little bit and then, or a lot bit, and then it come and gone back in. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi said, Avagav, the Milsit Loshchichai, granted it is unusual, Migo de Pshita Lan de Eni Yoledes, it should be Balayla, and Yalda Balayla, Talinunba. It is obvious to us that this thing is not given birth, right? So that's what you have to say, Ad Kan Lashono, end of quote. Harela Hedja, to the end of quote from Rashi. Harela hedya, the talina na filu b'milsa de lo shchicha, kedei shalo yakhish b'dikaseinu es kabbalaseinu, shekol shetash mishubayom eno molit balayla. He says, we are going to depend on it being some kind of bizarre circumstance, rather than say that what we are investigating and finding now contradicts the tradition we believe to be true. The Kalvachomer benido nidan, and he says, then Kalvachomer for our case, sheish lislos bedavar hamatsui, we can rely on, or it's not, we can assume that something that is common happened. Shemistama, nachal leibla arts vachal tachatul, it fell out, and a cat ate it. Kadesh lo yakhish habedikas kabbalasinu, shei asher lashum balchai, lichios hafilu rachu rega echad below leiv, rather than tell me that now we've discovered a creature that lived without a heart. Agam Lashono, and that's the quote from the piece that the publishers have left out. And now he says here, I can prove it to be true. He brings two proofs, of which we'll mention one. V'hine zikani Hashem od b'shnei rayos b'ruos. He says, God provided me with two clear proofs. Chada, the first one. Reish parakama pelas. Actually, it's already 40 minutes in. All right, so I'm going to skip the proof that he brings here. But it's of a similar variety. The question is, the discussion there is, we have an assumption that the womb does not open without blood emerging. It must be that if there's a birth, if something leaves the uterus, then there must have been blood. But they didn't see any blood in that particular case. But he says, you have to assume, even if it's as unlikely as you think, you have to assume there was blood, because that's our tradition, that there's no way the uterus opens without there being bleeding. That's the case that he uses to prove this. But that was one point. Second point. The case where you checked before Yom Tov, right? The case where you checked before Yom Tov, you didn't find anything. Why don't we call that Dabar Shiyesh Lo Matirin? right? We discussed Davashishla Matirin months and months ago. We said that if there is something which is going to become permitted if you just wait a little while, and you have a safek, the answer is it's usur. Because just wait, and it'll be mutter eventually. We talked about this. We gave some of the reasons behind it and so on. So why don't I apply that here? So Tosfos asks that question. Tosfos key. The second Tosfos in Zion of a base. Kilo bada gamer me esmo lavoi. He says, Vim tomar, you might ask. Vahabetsa davashi yesh lo matirin. Right? The beta, the egg is indeed something that will be permitted. He, the bath has. Im kain speak a lachoros. If you're in doubt, you should go strictly. Vyesh lo mar deshaani hacha. He says, no, this case is different because, as we already noted before, even if it is an unfertilized egg, it's still more likely to give birth by day. So this isn't a real suffix. This isn't a real doubt. Well, not even specs fake, although that would be an interesting way to put it. But I don't think it's even a specs fake. He's simply saying, this isn't a real possibility. This is not a real doubt. That's Tosfos's answer.
A very low probability.
Yeah, that's really what it sounds
like. So such a little probability that we're just going
to... Yeah, discard it. That's one answer. Second answer is from the Ron. If you see your sheet, source number 4, he gives you a technical answer, which is an important one to know. He says, Umeha mashma, from our Gemara it's indicated, that filu b'davashiyesh lamatirin b'dirabanan az linan basaruba misham dolo is chazik yisura. He says, from our Gemara, we see an indication that if it's a Dabar Sheish Lamatirin, and it's a Derabanan, he's assuming that it's a Derabanan now, not a Daraisa, then we are willing to follow the majority and say, well, majority of cases, the egg is from the daytime. Why? Mishum de lo is chazik isura, because there was no chazaka that it was asur. Right? Meaning, safek that we're going to be strict with, he's saying, has to be a safek where the thing was asur before, and our question is only did something happen to make it permitted. That will be a case in which we'd say you have to be strict. But in our case, that's not so. In our case, the assumption is that it was fine. We have no reason to assume that it was no good before. There was no chazaka of Isur. That's the idea. So he says that's going to be a different story. So that's the piece here about the egg. The Gemara has two more lines that it just throws in here.
So what happens if... you find out that you did your biological studies and you found out that, in fact, there's a new species of chickens and they do at night. So do we still follow what they're...
No. Tomorrow? I don't think you could. You would now have to say, sorry for these, it doesn't work.
Well, you still have a even though we don't have a halacha, even though we have a halacha motion of Sinai that this is happening.
These aren't chickens. Yeah. Effectively, so you'd be saying these aren't chickens.
You're saying that these are not really chickens.
These aren't the chickens. These ain't the chickens you're looking for. These aren't. This is a different creature. Yeah, I think you have to
say that. Yeah. Well, still, what about roe?
But it's not roe because this is a different class. You know, if I had a whole bunch of eggs, I didn't know which ones came from which. That would be a different story. But, no, but if these chickens are...
If I had a chazaka around that chickens don't give birth at night...
But now I have a reis. I have a species of chickens that I see do.
Okay, but still the rows of chickens aren't like that.
Forget species. Let's say there was a particular chicken that was thrown off. It was a mutant chicken, and that's the way its endocrine system works. It's ovulating at night, and it's producing chickens, and it's producing eggs at night. I wouldn't be able to rely on this. I'd have to say, okay... Their rule is very good where it applies, but it doesn't apply to this chicken. This is a rule-breaking chicken. Yeah. This is where it goes.
Yeah, they change the environment.
I guess we're looking at the words, the way he says those words, that we have our Messiah, and therefore we do this and this, so how far do you go with that?
Right, and I think the answer is until the evidence shows that it's simply not true. So one last point here. Ba'amar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul Amar Rav. Just because the Gemara had Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul quote Rav before, regarding where you checked before Yom Tov and there was no egg and so on. So now we have another statement. The Gemara does this all over Shas. When you have an odd combination of names, someone quoting someone else who doesn't appear all over the Gemara that way, so they'll bring all the cases together. So here, Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul is quoted as saying, quoting Rav, "Hai tuma shechika sakanta legiluya." Ground up garlic is subject to the law of giluy. Giluy meaning that if you leave something uncovered, you have to worry that snakes got in and they bit into it. And we discussed in the Avodah Zarah Shir on Shabbos afternoon the difference between the spitters and the biters. But there are snakes that will inject venom when they bite something, and there are snakes that will when they they'll spit into something. But the point is that he says ground garlic is subject to gilui as well. Now that's very odd, because we usually assume there has to be some kind of liquid involved in order to have a gilui consideration. We talk about with some of the juicier fruits and so on. So take a look on your sheet in source number 5. Rabbeinu Yohanan on the Rif. And the Gemara here. I'm sorry, not the Gemara, the Gemara Avodah Zarah. He has a long piece where he discusses different types of gilui cases. So he says, Hashum shenishchak v'nichtash v'machteshes. If garlic has been ground up in a mortar, sheyesh bo lachus meruba, there's a lot of liquid that's released when you do this. It's like mincing garlic, so you get a lot of liquid. So v'anacha shohevo so alachus harve. The snakes really like it. That's a preference of the snakes, so that's his concern. And indeed, the Torah mentions this in Yerodeh Kuf Tezayin. Generally speaking, we follow Tosfos regarding Gilui. We don't have snakes, you know, slithering around all over the place, and therefore we tend not to be as concerned. But that's the idea, is that the ground up garlic would have this concern. If you had minced garlic and you left it uncovered overnight, you would now have to get rid of it because it would be considered dangerous.
We have a custom also, even if it's not liquidy in the form of garlic. If you cut an onion, for example,
That's a different
reason.
Right, there's a separate idea of.